views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women, and happy Good Friday to everybody, and Easter weekend. Before we start, I want to announce again, I think I announced it last week, that I just launched the Woman of Wisdom book as a Kindle. It's available on Amazon as a Kindle now, which is great because it's in full color. All the beautiful art that is from a woman from our Woman of Wisdom community in the Puget Sound region is, and so it's great to be seeing things in color that you can, you know, on a Kindle. So be sure to check that out. And know that purchasing the Woman of Wisdom book supports Woman of Wisdom. Okay, well, today we're going to learn about how we can be healthy, happy, and sexy through Ayurveda wisdom with Katie Silcox. Katie is a nationally recognized yoga teacher, Ayurvedic practitioner, writer, and a writer for Yoga Journal. Katie was named one of San Francisco's best yoga teachers by Common Ground magazine and one of the 70 yogis changing the world in Origin magazine. Katie has written extensively on the topics of yoga, Ayurveda, sexuality, herbalism, and women's health. And her signature teaching style blends classical yoga, vinyasi-based asana, and life-changing tantric Ayurvedic philosophy. She lives in Virginia, and you can learn more about her at her website as Katie Silcox, S-I-L-C-O-X, yoga.com, and that's K-A-T-I-E. Also, she has a website, katiesilcox.com. Well, welcome, Katie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, well, tell us, I always start with people's stories, that's what an important aspect of the voices of women is stories. So I would love for you to share what drew you to work in yoga and also Ayurveda and the importance of that in your life.
Sure. Well, I think my story is like so many stories of people that seek out alternatives, whether that be medicine or lifestyle or religious spiritual understandings. It's because what they currently have doesn't seem to be working. And I, in my early 20s, I had a panic attack. And I am from the rural South, and I had never heard of that. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to even sort of psychologically put it in a box. It just felt like something was taking me over. And, you know, rapidly the culture that I was surrounded wanted me to, you know, treat this with some kind of pharmaceutical drugs, which I think sometimes it makes sense to do that. But for me, it just didn't feel like there was anything wrong with me fundamentally to fix. And so I started reaching out to things like yoga and Ayurveda to balance my mind and my emotions. And, of course, my body and, you know, they're all related. So when you balance one, the other follows suit. So I think what to summarize that, my expedition into this super dynamic and broad discipline started with suffering, you know, just really not feeling at home in my own body.
Yeah, is that the case with a lot of people? And yet many of us don't know where to go to. You know, we go to the doctor to fix me, and a lot of people use the medications. And so tell us about Ayurveda. How does that work for, you know, I know it's all very holistic, mind, body, spirit kind of things, but tell us about Ayurveda.
Well, Ayurveda, when I originally began studying Eastern religion and philosophy and yoga, what I found was that these things that we consider to be yoga, mainly the hatha yoga poses, were actually like a really tiny part of yoga. And there is a sister discipline called Ayurveda that went along with yoga. That word Ayurveda means the science of life or the knowledge of life. And there was this discipline that taught us how to understand sort of our own personality and our own body mind type, and that what works for me might be actually very harmful for you, and what works for you might not be so great for me. And so if we really want to undertake the evolution of our consciousness, then the first step in yoga was to know how to take care of the body, because if the body is struggling and full of toxins, then it's really challenging to expand and do the deeper work of opening consciousness. And so Ayurveda is really should be, you know, in my opinion, the starting point for our spiritual practices, rather than what normally happens is that people find yoga or they find certain disciplines of spirituality, and then maybe they kind of come back to the more holistic medicine aspects of those philosophies.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Ayurveda being like body types, because, you know, my body's different than yours, so what my needs are would be different. So I understand there's three different types they call doshas. So I'd love for you to describe those.
Sure. So in order to talk about the three mind-body types that are so famous in Ayurveda that everyone wants to talk about, it's actually really important to go back to where those body types come from, and it's called the panchatattvas, and that means the five elements. And so everyone, all of us, me, you, squirrels, rocks, trees, everything in the manifest reality, according to the system, is made up of a unique combination of either earth, fire, water, air, or spaciousness. And we all have all five of those, but we'll have them in varying degrees. And so like a butterfly has way more air and spaciousness in its constitutional makeup than a rock. And that just intuitively makes sense to everyone. We understand reality as a composite of different qualities. And so what Ayurveda says is, okay, let's break that down. And so what are the particular qualities that make up me, Katie Silcox? And so we developed something that is kind of like looking at the qualities of Earth. And the qualities of Earth are like heavy, stable, grounded. If you stick your hand in, you know, a bucket of mud, it's slightly cool. Qualities of water. Everybody knows this stuff. You know, even a child could tell you water's wet and it's mobile and it's heavier than air. And it's just very basic ways of understanding reality. Fire is hot, you know, fire weighs less than mud. Air is mobile. The reason we know something's air is because it's moving. We say the wind is blowing. And so anything related to lightness and motility and changeability would be air. And ether is spaciousness. And so ether is defined as the absence of all other elements. It's just space. And so then we can come into what you asked me about the doshas. And so now when you bring air and space together, we call that vata. And for your listeners, it might be helpful to think of vata dosha as the principle in you of change on a positive level. This is change, information, you know, movement, as I said, but also degeneration, right? Aging is a process of breaking things down, of moving from when we're a baby and we're roly-polies that are chubby and get mucousy conditions and we're full of life and vitality, to an older person who now's bones begin to dry out and we become more brittle and frail. And that doesn't have to be a sad thing. You know, it's just the process of life. If you look at a tree, that's what a tree does in the fall. And so people who have more of this element in their constitution will tend to have bodies that are more long and lanky and lithe and many other words that start with L, right? Mobile. And for your listeners, think about someone who's a little bit more like the typical model you would see on TV, right? These long, lanky women. Our culture currently typifies our vision of beauty as this one type, which of course is ridiculous. But that one type will be that by nature, right? And so I could go on with the other two doshas, but I just want to make sure that I'm not droning on and this is all making sense.
Yeah. Let's move to the other two. We're just getting a basic idea of what each one is.
Yeah. And so the second one is composite is primarily fire. And so this would be more of the medium build constitution that has a good, you know, strong metabolism, that also have more medium features and more sharpness to their constitution. And lastly, you have kapha, of course, which is earth and water people. And they tend to have more stability and substance to their structure. So even just thinking about it in terms of your bones, like if you look at your bones, you'll have a thinner frame, a medium frame, or thicker bones. And so you can tell a lot about people's innate constitution by birth, by their bones.
Yeah.
Why? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say we have to take a break. So I'm going to come back and learn more about how these, how these all work for us. So stay tuned. We'll be right back and talk more with Katie on Ayurveda.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Miss any shows during the week?
No!
Don't worry, we've got you covered.
Yahoo!
With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand.
Yes!
Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Hoff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
When your body is awakened, your spirit comes alive. Dana Canetto is a transformational guide, embodiment coach, and spiritual mentor assisting women in realigning with their truth and embodying who they are by connecting to the wisdom of their body. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network for Body Divinity Radio with Dana Canetto. For more information on Dana and her services, visit danacanetto.com. That's DanaCanetto.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. We are discussing Ayurvedic systems today with Katie Silcock, the author of Healthy, Happy, Sexy, Ayurveda, Wisdom for the Modern Woman. So, Katie, you outlined the three body types, Vata, Pitta, Kapha. And so one of the things that I wanted you to share, because in reading your book, you state that we all have an original mind-body constitution at birth. So let's talk about that and how that impacts who we are and how we deal with things like food, weight, health, and all that based on that. And do we stay in that, you know, throughout our life, that that's our constitution and that's who we are, or does it shift around?
Yeah, Ayurveda understands that you were born with an original constitution. We call it your prakriti, your original nature. This is your bones. This is what was transmitted in the DNA that is unlikely to change. And, you know, I use the bone structure as a really obvious example. Even something like your musculature, you can go to the gym and lift weights, but if I do it and someone who has a more pitta constitution does it, we're going to have very different results, even if we go the same amount. And this is because of the original nature. That cannot be changed. It's just by birth. And yet, if you want to think about that as like the hardwire, the hard encoding of your DNA, your hardware. But part of the DNA is the software. The epigenetics are now showing that there are parts of us that are changeable, that have more to do with our mind and our emotions and our even some aspects of our health. And we call this the Vikruti, and that we can change our destiny for good, or we can change it for not so good. And so if I come into this reality and I'm a Vata, so I'm a light, long, lanky person, but I begin to have developed poor eating habits and eating maybe junk food and processed food, I can gain a lot of weight and I can become a very big person. And yet underneath that, I'm actually a small person. And there's nothing wrong with being big or being small, but my original nature is not big. And so I'm going against my original nature. This is why if you're born in Alaska, for example, and you see this constitution of the Inuit people, they have a nice, big, broad bone structure. Their diet consists, back in the day, of course, of a lot of things like whale blubber. And, you know, they were healthy at that size. And yet, if I were to have that amount on my bone structure, it would be deleterious to me. So we all have an original nature, but I can go against my original nature and do harm to myself. And so that's why it can be very confusing, Ayurveda, and very tricky, because what we're attempting to figure out is not what I would say to everyone listening is don't worry so much about what your original nature is initially if you're in balance. Figure out the imbalance that you have and understand which dosha that is. So, for example, something like anxiety, that is a Vata quality. It's light. It's mobile. It makes us feel ungrounded. And so we would want to make sure that we made people feel supported and nurtured and grounded before we worked with their original nature.
Yeah, you mentioned that imbalance, and you have a lot of information in your book about how to bring balance back to all three of these, Vata, Pitta, Kapha, and through foods and through spices. You know, there's a lot of things in the book about, you know, adding spices to your food that help these and to bring the balance back. And then, so the other question is, are we just one, or are we a combination? Because when I go through your checklist, I go, well, I can check these and Pitta and these and Vata and these, and, you know, How does that work?
Sure. You know, and I want to say, if everybody reads this and feels a little confused, don't worry. Life isn't easy. And yet, you know, we are all complex. And yes, to answer your question, all of us are a combination of all of them. If you have a body, you have kapha. If you have breath, you have vata. And if you have mind, you have pitta. We're all three. What we're attempting to understand is, what is my tendency? What is the one that I tend towards? And so in my book, I offer up these quizzes. And of course, online, you can take them. And you have some things from all of them. But there will be a sector that you tend to go towards most. So you can see that. We'll have one that we tend to. Some people will have two. You know, they'll say, well, no, I'm an even balance of two. Okay, that's fine. Rare people will be tridoshic, meaning they have all three. And those people have a really hard time with life. I shouldn't say that. They have an interesting life because they can go out of balance in every single way, but they also have all the wonderful superpowers and gifts of all of those three doshas. And so, I would say for everyone listening, get interested about Ayurveda in terms of the qualities of what you have going on currently. And so, like, being overweight, having anxiety, having anger, having overwork, all these qualities, right? Constipation, digestive issues. What quality are those? And that's just something that, you know, one must take the time to study, but it's worth it because in my estimation, Ayurveda is the most comprehensive system of understanding reality that I've ever encountered. It is completely holistic. Mind, body, karma, spirit, everything's there.
Yes, and you bring a lot of that into the book because you talk about there's a lot, you know, areas of food. There's a whole section on sexuality. There aspects of your book are say I had them written down somewhere. Where did I put them? My notes. Well, that three pillars of health: food, sleep, and sexual energy. So. Yeah. That's interesting too. So it's quite, like I say, holistic. I'd like to go into food aspect of it because it's something we all love food and we also have problems with food and, you know, everybody, you know, the whole diet thing and everybody wants to be slim. Well, you talk about these body types. Not everybody can be slim model-like, but within each body frame, there's a healthy place of being a medium build or a heavier build. Yeah. There's a healthy place of that. And that's what we're looking for, you know, what's the healthy. And so let's talk about food, you know, because one of the aspects is the, you know, having difficulty with being an emotional eater and how to manage your cravings, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's universal to all the doshas. I don't think it's even a thing of what's my body-mind type. It's all of us, especially, you know, on the planet that tend to be heart-based people. Heart-based people, I think your listeners will really get this in that you probably have a lot of heart-based listeners. And when you're a heart-based person, we tend to be the ones that when we feel stressed, we reach for food for comfort. It's literally a wiring in the brain. Then you have more head-based people who are more analytical by nature, and not to gender type it, but it tends to be more of a male-female thing. Although, of course, there are males that can go the other way and females that can go the other way. But with head-based people, when they feel stressed, they actually don't eat as much, and so they will lose weight under stressful situations. I can tell you, I've been under stress in my life and never lost weight, you know, quite the contrary. And so I think that what Ayurveda would say is this deeper, we have to ask the deeper question of what is wrong in my life that I'm like leaning into food for love and comfort. You know, the word for fat in Sanskrit is sneha, and that word literally means love. The word for fat in Sanskrit is love, because they understood that the essence of a sesame seed or the essence of milk is ghee, you know, fat. The essence of things is fat. And so when we overindulge in unhealthy fats, because healthy fats are good, right? But unhealthy fats, we're getting a false sense of love. And that's why you can eat and eat, and you never feel full, and that craving stays.
I mean, right. So let's talk about what's a healthy fat. And in even your book, you have a recipe how to make ghee. I'd love to, and that's something we're not used to in our culture. And it sounds like just fat. It's just, cooking butter. But
I know it's counterintuitive. So I just came from doing a cleanse and with my doctor, and she's a Ayurvedic doctor, and I can tell you that I ate probably 2 buckets of ghee, and I don't think that I gained any weight. On the contrary, so ghee is clarified butter, and this is one of the best healthy forms of fat because when you clarify butter, when you boil out the milk solids, and those are the things that create that arterial plaque that we would call bad forms of cholesterol. So it's like this very, very refined aspect of butter. And, ghee is one example. They're all those healthy fats, olive oil, avocado oil, hemp oil, avocados in general, even butter, we would say in small amounts is a healthy fat. The only things that we would say are the unhealthy fats are the ones that have been processed. And those are just foreign objects to the body. And of course, if you put those foreign objects in, the body reacts. So I think actually, if you are listening and you feel that you have cravings, I think cut out the wheat and the sugar, the processed wheat and the sugar, because those are the unnatural forms of sneha, the love, and bring in more of the avocado and the ghee and even the butter amounts. And your body over time will start to feel like it's being nourished and it won't have the cravings. Sugar and caffeine and processed foods, but mainly sugar and caffeine, are the number one ways that we are living in what I call false ambition. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to do
yes.
more.
And we know that. We know the sugar is bad for us, and yet we have that craving.
Yeah.
It's like there's an addiction to sugar. And it's like, how do we get out of that? Well, we're going to have to take another break. This is Chris Stainis. We'll come back and talk more about being healthy, happy, and sexy.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Sun Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Sun Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking today with Katie Silcox, author of Healthy, Happy, Sexy, Ayurveda Wisdom for Modern Women. So, Katie, please give your website and what you have for of interest for people to go to your website.
Yeah, it's katiesilcox.com, and that's just my name. And on the website, if people head over there, if they join the mailing list, there's actually a free bliss meditation for people to get started who are wanting to start meditating but aren't sure really where to begin. It can be quite overwhelming. And I have a meditation on there that's really helpful for starters. I also wanted to let people know that I do have an Ayurvedic training program coming up in January of 2018. And so if this is sparking your interest and you're feeling like this might be something that you want to make a life out of, then we have a year-long mentorship happening. And that's all over at my website. If you get on the mailing list, we'll be sending out a lot of information on that fairly soon.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, so we've been talking about food. And one of the things I'm very aware of, I read about, is this, growing, eating locally grown food and eating things that are growing in this season, and how that fits in with the system of Ayurvedic eating, and how it fits in with the doshas and all this. That, what can you tell us about that? Aligning, yeah, it's kind of like aligning with the seasons.
Yeah, that's so Ayurvedic. Ayurveda says align with the seasons and you're good. Right? Because it doesn't matter what your doshic type is. Everybody should eat seasonally and locally. Here's the issue. This only works, though, if you're healthy. Right? And so back in not that long ago, I think of my grandparents, an orange that my grandfather ate had 30 times the amount of minerals and nutrients in it than the one that I have. And so back in the day, it was a lot easier to be in tune with the natural rhythms, right? And it wasn't until you had an imbalance that you would want to start to alter the diet in a way. So what I mean by that is, if you have an imbalance, let's say you need to eat more grounding, nurturing, warming foods like a vata would need, and it's the middle of spring when all of nature is cleansing and naturally things are coming out of the ground that are more pungent and bitter, and nettles and all these wonderful things that cleanse our body come out. A vata person still needs to cleanse. And so seasonal local fruits and vegetables usually for most people work all the time. What we would just consider is the way that it's prepared, when it's eaten, and maybe some of the spices that would be added to it. So if you're a vata person, you would still eat the same beautiful greens from your market, but you would just want to make sure that you cooked them. You added some oils. You added some more pungent heating spices to make it warm. Whereas if you were a pitta person, you might be able to handle eating that raw in a salad. A vata person wouldn't, because they have a lower digestive metabolic fire. And I think one of the main things that I just want to put out there, this idea that raw food is better, is harmful. For people of vata constitution types or who have a vata imbalance, something like constipation is a very common vata imbalance. For that type of person, raw food can actually be just detrimental. And so we all can eat seasonally and locally. And if you're listening, eat that way. If you're feeling good, if your digestion feels good, and you'll just be in alignment. But I think a lot of us feel not so good. And so that's when we have to make the small changes to our diet. And they really are small. It's just having the understanding of, okay, I know that my constitution is going to be naturally more mobile and dry and light. I need to make everything warm and wet and spicy. And I can do that with the local fruits and vegetables from my market, just like you can, who may be of a different constitutional type. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I want to point out, in your book, you give recipes and you give seasonal, through the seasons for the three different types. So you can actually just, find your list of foods to buy and find the list of recipes of what to eat and what spices to eat with them for the body type that you are. So you've laid it out very nicely. If that helps people.
Don't overthink it. Just if you're in balance, your body's going to tell you what you need. If you're out of balance, that's trickier, because when we're out of balance, our body tells us that we need, corn dogs and ice cream. That's not really ever the right answer.
Well, and that's the problem. It's that emotional eating and not knowing, perhaps. I mean, because we just eat out of habit the typical American diet, and so many people, and I think even especially young people who, eat out a lot, and getting that the nourishment that you need in a restaurant. And then I know there's some great restaurants too, but it's also like, where do you go to eat and what do you order from the menu that's good. Well, one aspect I want to get to that also has to do with Ayurvedic system is the, and you've mentioned it, anxiety and we're kind of going through a very anxious time right now, and if we're impacted by the news and the internet. And so, and I know you have a lot of meditations in your book too, but using this practice to maintain our centered, grounded aspects of ourselves and being calm during this chaotic time where, so much every day. There's something in the news, and so we're very anxious.
Yeah. There's a way of being informed and being a positive force on the planet and even being an activist and also holding our center and holding our power and knowing that we have a choice. We are the only ones who turn on the news. We are the ones who flip through the Facebook. That is us as agency. And so I think the number one thing for me is just being super judicious around how I spend my prana, my energy. And, this is the thing that blows my mind. Every single piece of information has to be digested by your system, just like every food morsel. And when I really got that, I was like, oh my God, we are under an overwhelm of information has to be digested just like anything we put in our mouth. And so I've tried for myself to really get clearer and clearer on what those boundaries are and what my system can handle. And what my system can handle might be less or more than what others can. Mine just happens to not be a lot. And to really like claim our time as precious and our energy as precious. And I think anxiety is something that really plagues everyone, regardless of our constitutional type. And, I think that the teachings even talk about the era, the age in which we live as the Kali Yuga, the time of turmoil and anger and chaos. And so the good news is that that's also the most fertile time for love and enlightenment and compassion. Because imagine, it's amazing. You can't do anything these days without everyone knowing it. There's this sense of clarity and accountability in that as well. But I think that Ayurveda, if it had not been for Ayurveda, I don't even know if I would be here. I mean, it has helped me with anxiety, with depression, with all of the emotions so much. And I've seen it transform the lives of literally thousands of people. So, one thing I do want to say, if you are feeling anxious, everything should be warm and wet. Your food should be grounding and warm and nourishing. Your everything should be slow. Think about sauntering rather than running in every way.
And you have some drinks in your book too. So wouldn't there be things that you could have in your drink that have calming energy, or, herbal things or spices or,
Yeah, in the book, I do give a number of different what I call tonics that help support calm and tranquility. And I'm using the words carefully because I don't believe, I can tell you, I've tried them all. There's nothing that really can take away anxiety, but there are herbs that can support calm and tranquility. We really, I think if there is one thing that we can do to support the removal of anxiety, it's to stop the momentum of the mind and the breath, to just really sit and be in our breath and be in calm and let that be the wallpaper of our life and really commit to stopping our lives and just meditating and checking in and feeling in. And then those herbs can do their job. Then those herbs really start to work. But that said, there are definitely herbs in the book that I speak about. And in general, they're going to be herbs that are more grounding and warming and tonifying rather than purifying. or lightning.
Can you give us an example for
An example of
calming
an herb that would be more calming?
Yeah.
Well, let me give you an example that I think will be beneficial. There's a whole category of herbs that I think that your listeners might want to check out that are called adaptogens. Adaptogens, they don't just calm you. They do whatever you need. That's why they're called adaptogens, because they can go into your body and they adapt to their environment. So something like ashwagandha or shatavari. Ashwagandha is sort of known as the Indian ginseng. If you need, you know, I take ashwagandha before I go to bed, and it helps me sleep. I also take ashwagandha when I wake up because it helps me have energy. And so it's just like this incredible herb because it can do whatever's required in the system. So if I were to tell you, the king and queen, in my estimation, are really ashwagandha and shatavari. Those really are our core feminine and masculine, shatavari being the feminine, ashwagandha being the masculine herbs that support. I wouldn't say that they're calming. They will calm you if you need that. What I would say that they do is that they coat and support the central nervous system. They balance hormones. They do a lot of things. They're both super strong reproductive tonics. So if you're a woman, if you're...
Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious where you need to go look online, you go to an herbal store. I mean, I don't think it's something you can find in your grocery store. They don't sound like your normal herb.
No, and I want to caution, you know, I'm not a big fan of, and I mean, I've written a book about it, but I think that you really should, if you're serious about taking your health into your own hands, go meet with an Ayurvedic practitioner. Spend the money. Google it. Go find one in your area. If you don't have one, make a trip if you can and see somebody. Because when people ask me for interviews, I always get a little bit nervous because there's one answer to every question in Ayurveda, and that is it just depends on the person.
Yeah. You know? And if you go to a practitioner, they're going to help you where to buy these things too. And
But if you're just like, no, I want to try it out in my body, well, go Google it and get an organic version. And there's
Well, we have to take another break. So we'll be back and talk more with Katie Silcox. And we'll be back.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit CamboKiss.com.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we've been listening to Katie Silcox giving us her expertise in Ayurvedic wisdom, how to lead a healthy, happy, sexy life, and we've been talking a lot about food. Now, you mentioned, Katie, in your book, you start off with there's three pillars of health: food, sleep, and sexual energy. And we've talked a lot about food. Of course, I mean, food's kind of a building block, you know. It brings in all the nutrients into your body, and sleep can be a real problem for people, you know. And they say we don't get enough here, and because we're so busy, and people don't get enough sleep. And
yeah, sleep is so big. You know, I love the way Ayurveda says that sleep is the wet nurse of the world. You know, you can imagine that when we go to sleep, it's like we're with our nurturing mother who's literally breastfeeding us. And when we don't get that, especially for our mind, right, the subconscious gets this time to really release emotion and thought, and just does like a conscious dump while we're sleeping. And if we don't get into those deeper REM levels of sleep, then when we're living our daily waking life, things feel more overwhelming and anxious, right? And then even sometimes if you sleep, some of you know, you feel like you got enough hours, but you still don't feel like you're dropping deeply in. And this is, of course, related to food and caffeine intake. And so all these things, of course, are related. And so sleep is really important. And not only the quantity, but the quality of sleep. And so everything that I talk about in the book is going to actually help you sleep better, even if it doesn't seem like it's directly related. So meditation, the food that you eat, the drinks that you drink, understanding your constitution better is going to set up this sort of ecosystem in the body where now we're more aligned to be able to move with the rhythms of nature, which is to go to sleep. And if I were to give your listeners one tip on better sleeping, what I would say is that there is this magical time for everybody, right? From around 10 or 10:30 p.m. It's a little different in the winter than the summer. In the winter, it's a little earlier. But in the summer, it's a little later, you know, 10:30, 11. In the winter, 9:30 to 10. There's this liminal space. There's this time from 10 to 12, and some texts even say into 1 and 2. So that period from 10 to 12 is super important for relaxing those subconscious minds. And on the physical level, this is when we do some of the deepest detoxification of the organs. So guess what? If you're awake during that time or all of that time, even if you get 8 hours of sleep, you're missing out on that opportunity. So that's my number one suggestion, is just start to go to bed if you can a little earlier every night. And, you know, I know it might not be great for your social life, but I'm just telling you what the teachings say. So that's been really incredible for me to just really make that a big priority in my life. And the people that love me know me, and they know that that matters to me. And so I think if all of us sort of stick up for ourselves, and you can start to actually influence. Now my friends and family go to bed earlier and really care about these things, whereas before they may not have.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're talking about relaxing time. Does it count if you're like, you're unwinding, you're taking a bath and getting into the kind of that state during that time? Or does it mean be in bed, falling asleep at that time?
No, yes, it does not count. No, I mean unconscious. You must be unconscious.
Mm. Well, I know for myself, when I'm on by myself, I mean, you know, when you're dealing with a partner who's on a different time schedule, but when I was alone for a month in Italy, I naturally went to bed at 11 and got up at 7:30. That doesn't happen now, but and I know that too, that at, sometimes if I stay up too late, I wake up. My mind gets comes back, even though I might have been tired and go, oh, I'm so sleepy, I'm going to go to sleep. And then conversation or something happens and I'm like, I'm alert again. And then it's harder to get back to sleep.
So that period from 10 to 12, that's when people get their second wind. So if you aren't winding down by 10, 10:30, if you aren't winding it down, you'll notice, oh, if you're watching TV, you'll be sleepy. But then now 10 o'clock, now I'm like super wide awake. Well, that's because you are riding that energetic wave of detoxification that would be detoxifying your internal organs and your mental emotional body. But now it's being transferred to the conscious mind. And that's when you actually start thinking more. So, you know, it's pretty incredible. Like if we learn these little, I don't want to say laws of nature, but they are. I mean, it's humbling our ego to the reality of nature. And if we do that, she will give us back gifts tenfold.
Well, and if you think about the fact that we have electricity and light, we stay up later. And if we were living, I know when I traveled around the world and I was in places where there was not electricity, you went to bed at those hours because it was dark.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so the third thing was sexual energy. And then we're not talking just about sex here, but that, you know, the three pillars of health. And so we only have a couple minutes. It's a big topic, but maybe just words of wisdom on this.
Yeah. First of all, it is about sex and it's bigger than that. So we're talking about sexual energy as the creative life force inside of us. And as women, we have a lot of this. You know, we are the creators. We are the creative force. And so it's more about how am I giving out my creative energy, you know, and maintaining that. And so being really knowledgeable about how you want to share yourself, the ways that you want to invest in yourself and others. And, you know, it's kind of like how you spend your time. And so what the teachings say is that when we are engaged, and then just on a more our actual level of our sexuality, when a person, especially women, when we feel loved and our sex life is filled with appreciation, respect, and love, it creates what we call OJS, which is this vital immune system, psychophysiological honey. It's like you start to have good immunity, more bettered immunity. You have more resiliency, vitality. And so it's an interesting thing to go back to some of these ancient texts and their perceptions on sexuality, because they're really not about morality. It's really not about sex being good or bad, or you should do this or you should do that. It's really this, like, super loving understanding of the energetics of our sexuality, and the way that when we feel loved and supported and nurtured by our partner, that creates a third entity. And you could be creating a baby, or you could be creating a business, or you could just be creating more love and radiance for the world. And so, you know, I think about our younger women on the planet right now, and my heart just goes out, and I'm only 36, but I did not grow up with internet. And I think about our younger women and just, wow, like what they are really being burdened by these days, and especially their sexuality. And just to kind of put it out there that, it, you know, we can go back to the ancients to kind of come back to sanity.
Yeah, yes. Well, unfortunately, we can't talk any longer about this. The show is up. Our time is up. Thank you so much, Katie, for being on the show today.
Thank you. It's been wonderful. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. Well, everybody check out her book. Go to katiesilcox.com. Her book is Healthy, Happy, Sexy, Ayurvedic Wisdom for Modern Women. So as I said, there's just lots of points in the book, lots of meditations, lots of recipes, lots of food ideas, several chapters on sexuality. So you can go more into that by checking out her book. So please do that. And also check out the Woman of Wisdom book. It's available as a soft cover. and also now as Kindle. And it all supports Woman of Wisdom. And check out Woman of Wisdom and sign up for the newsletter to see what we are doing here in the Pacific Northwest. So, okay, our time is up. And I hope everybody has a fabulous weekend. And be safe and enjoy your holiday.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.